This series presents information based in part on theory and conjecture. The producer's purpose is to suggest some possible explanations, but not necessarily the only ones, to the mysteries we will examine.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the ships at sea, welcome to episode 15 of The Paranormal Pulse. My name is Lance Phillip, and with me again tonight is my beautiful co-host, Chris Bruno.
Thanks, Lance. Holy crap, what was that?
I don't know.
That was quite an intro. I am impressed.
I went for the big, like, you know, the big 1940s intro, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you hit it.
So, first time today I've had energy. Come on.
Yeah, that's good. So, welcome to episode 15. We're going to be talking tonight about your trip to Fort Mifflin, your future trip to Gettysburg, about wonderful little child you ran into.
Absolutely.
Some paranormal reality.
And also a correction of something I had mentioned last week. I was so out of it last week when I did that episode because I had done it right after the investigation of Fort Mifflin. I had given out some, just slightly wrong information, so I want to correct that this week.
So we'll touch on that too. We're going to talk about paranormal in the news, as usual. It's becoming a favorite piece of our show, and we actually enjoy it a lot too. So we'll be doing the paranormal in the news, and of course the geek review. Lance has a great tech review for us on something new that has personality. So we'll talk about that towards the end of the show. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to stop by our website, or actually our Facebook page would be better. Stop by our Facebook page, The Paranormal Pulse Podcast, right on Facebook, easy to get to, or our EKG, that's East Coast Ghost, East Coast with a K, Ghost, on Facebook, really easy to find. Drop us a line, ask us a question. We'd love to hear from you. So you want to talk about Fort Mifflin? You want to talk about your correction that you have?
Yeah, well, first thing, last week I talked about a story about the Ghost Brothers of what I called Southland County. It's actually the Ghost Brothers of Darkland County. I wanted to clarify that because, and I want to credit
it
correctly.
Brothers, are there brothers in Southland?
No. What it is that, because you missed it last week.
I did, sorry.
Unfortunately, you couldn't be with me last week, but John Cougar Mellencamp got together with Stephen King.
Oh, that's right.
And they wrote a musical that was a combination of Stephen King, John Mellencamp. And for some reason, I don't remember who I gave credit to for the production, but it's T-Bone Burnett. He was the producer, a very famous producer. And somehow last week, my half asleepness, you know, from driving all the way, doing the investigation, driving back and then jumping into the recording studio. So I kind of butchered that. So, again, if you're interested, it seems fascinating. It's a great project. It's the Ghost Brothers of Darkland County.
Yeah, and it does sound really cool.
Yep. It's written by Stephen King, composed by John Cougar Mellencamp, and produced by T-Bone Burnett. So it sounds like an interesting project. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it, actually.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a very interesting project. So, recapping on your investigation of Fort Mifflin, care to step into that for us?
Yeah, obviously, we EKG wound up losing some people. I know you weren't able to go, and unfortunately, Rick came down with a horrible upper respiratory infection, and he couldn't go, and Virgil had already committed to something else prior, so he couldn't go. So, wound up being
a teeny team.
Yeah, wound up just being me and Jen driving down. So we drive down to Philadelphia, and we had never been there. We didn't know what to expect. I never realized Fort Mifflin is right on the edge of the city. Like, and it's right next to the airport. Constant, about every 10 minutes, you have to stop doing what you're doing because a plane will fly overhead. And when I say fly overhead, I took pictures of planes that were literally, I mean, right over the roof of the fort in some places, you know. They fly that low. Everything shakes. So you got to be real careful with EVPs and things like that. And they are constant. It's literally every 10 to 15 minutes another plane flies over. So you got to do everything in short bursts.
Right.
With that said, we got to meet the lady who's the manager of the fort. Well, she's the retired manager of the fort. She's retired now, but she still runs all the paranormal programs there. And she was the manager from the mid-90s up until, I think, a year or two ago when she retired as a full-time manager, but still, again, runs the paranormal events there. And the big thing about that is she was the manager, and she is very much into the paranormal. She's been an investigator since the early 90s.
Yeah.
So it was only a natural connection that she would bring her love of the paranormal to the fort. knowing that it's long history. What I didn't realize, although the section of the fort where we investigated is retired and closed in the late 50s, that there's still a part of the fort which is behind the administration building, which is still an active military base. The Army Corps of Engineers is there. And it's obviously off limits. You can't get to there from where we were, but that part of Fort Mifflin is still active and used. So it's an interesting thing that you have a fort that was built, in Revolutionary War times, saw six wars basically, and is still technically an active military base today. Although the historical part where we investigated is not. It's a retired, it's a museum at this point.
It's really an interesting place.
Yeah, it really is. And the fact that's really interesting about it is that the woman, well, we explain the event. It was a family ghost hunt night, okay? It was great. It was a small event. There were 12 people there all together, including myself and Jen.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's not too bad.
No, there were four young children there who were there with their families. So the group was very small. And the woman who runs it, she takes you around on a tour of basically a ghost tour of the fort. And what she did was she started explaining the history of the fort, explained how Taps was there on one of the early episodes of Ghost Hunters.
Mm-hmm.
Also explained some of the inaccuracies that were portrayed in the show. Not intentionally, because some of the information they found out that they didn't have that information when that episode was filmed.
Okay.
More information came to light later on. So there are some inaccuracies in the show, but not anything intentional that the producers did or anything like that, just because, more information came about after the fact.
Sure.
So she explains that to us. You go into the main museum area first, and she kind of explains to you a history of the fort, what it was used for and all that. Then she takes you over to what they call the 1812 room. Much of the fort that you see there now wasn't the original structure. The original structure was basically blown apart with the exception of one area. It's reconstructed over years.
Oh, wow.
But this one room known as the 1812 room has all kinds of activity. Only problem is a lot of the stories associated with the activity don't make sense because when they did the further research, some of the names that were mentioned weren't actually there and that sort of thing.
Right.
But there is a lot of activity that goes on in that room. Just to give you an idea, when we were in there, first thing we did was I did basic EMF sweeps. Now, we went in prior to the actual event. We went in on our own during the day.
Right.
Now, the reason why we did that is because most of the activity recorded in Fort Mifflin takes place during the day, which is why a lot of their ghost hunting events don't start at night. They start in the afternoon,
right,
which is different than a lot of places. So we went in there. First thing I did was we just made sure there was no one else in the area so that we couldn't have any contamination of EVPs and that sort of thing. And what I did was I did a rough EMF sweep. Part of the room is blocked off that you can't get to, so I can only do
that's no fun.
Well, yeah, but I can only do I'm not going to go through and and jump over the railing, that sort of thing,
trouble.
No, but you want to respect the fort and the museum,
sure.
know. So we did EMF sweeps, but we weren't getting anything. But I said, all right, let's do a session with the spirit box. We did, and we got some pretty interesting things that came through. We have what sounds like full conversations. I'll be honest, it's been a busy couple of weeks. I haven't had the time to really go through and analyze what was said. That's something I'm going to need a lot of time to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
But we were getting a lot of activity. Now, the box was isolated, so it couldn't be outside radio signals. So that's what was interesting.
Because it should potentially just be static on every frequency.
Right. And now to that point, when we were being led through by the lady who runs the place, giving us the paranormal tour, I had mentioned to her, because she had asked, is anybody here investigators? And we were the only two who were actual investigators. Everybody else, this was their first experience into ghost hunting.
Gotcha. They were just curious.
Well, it's nice, too, because what she does is she gives you basic ghost hunting knowledge.
Right.
Okay. Explains, about taking photos and whatnot. It's a really laid-back thing. It is very much geared towards the beginner. Now, I happened to mention to her what I had gotten, And she said, doesn't surprise me. She goes, people get that kind of activity, especially in a spirit box, a lot in that room. So that was kind of cool. She basically took us location by location by location. The one place she did not take us to, but she told us about it and you know, gave us free rein to do what we wanted basically after the fact. Because her tour of the fort lasted about an hour. And then that started at, I want to say, yeah, it was 4 o'clock that started. We met with her for the tour. So from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, she let us go on our own and do whatever we wanted. You know, you know, so we had 2 hours of investigating on our own, and most of the other people on the tour, they went around, took some photos, and then left. So it wound up being me and Jen basically with the run of the fort, which was really cool.
Oh, that's very cool.
But even earlier in the
and rare.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, even earlier in the day when it was open, there was a tour, there weren't a lot of people there. So now we decide what she had done was she had taken us to basically all the different places, but the one place she didn't take us down into, but she told us about it, was the room where when Grant and Jason from Ghost Hunters went down, where Grant stuck his head in the hole and saw the face staring back at him and it scared the crap out of him.
Right, right.
Well, me being me.
You had to do it too.
I had to do it too. And I will tell you, it's a frightening little space.
I bet. Especially, imagine with lack of sleep.
Well, yeah, especially since I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know, I'm going to stick my face in there. What am I going to see? Unfortunately, I didn't see anything, but you have it in the back of your mind because you know what you saw on Ghost Hunters.
On the show, he had something there, so now you're expecting it too.
Right, right. So, you know, I'm braced up for it and whatnot, and that might not be the best way to go into it because now I'm thinking, you know. But,
well, you have a preconceived notion of what you're going to see too.
Right. And I didn't, but I will tell you, it is kind of a scary space. It's small, it's cramped, it's damp, it's dark, it's, you know. A great part of touring, investigating the fort is even during the day, lots of it's underground, and you're in the dark. So, yeah, so it really doesn't matter. What was nice is she had photos from other paranormal groups when she was taking the tour, showing you different things. And there are some amazing photos that she had. Which was nice, you know, and I do believe they were real. You know, I don't believe anything there was fake. You know, she's very sincere about what she does. What was really nice is she was explaining that in the mid-90s when they were really establishing the paranormal programs there, that John Zaffis had a lot to do with helping her get that place, you know, the paranormal programs established there. He was actually coming up. He was actually coming there on his own without being paid and actually running a lot of the paranormal nights back in the early days.
Well, how about that?
Yeah, yeah, it was really
good. That's what they all had hands in on what's going on now, and that's wonderful.
And you know, the funny thing is, she had asked me, she said, did you ever get a chance to meet John Zaffis? I said, actually, I did. I met him at, you know, Phenomenology, and she was like,
five times.
Well, I know. And she was like, she goes, oh, I was there too. I was like, oh, were you? She goes, yeah. She goes, how come you didn't stop by our table? To be truthful, I didn't even know she had a table there. And it turns out her table is directly in front of John Zaffis's. So basically what had happened was,
you just completely missed it because you were busy with John Zaffis.
I was talking to John Zaffis and my back was turned to her. So I never saw her on the other side. I felt
bad.
When she said that, I felt really bad. I was like, okay. So,
well, we're talking about Fort Mifflin. I just want to fill people in. FortMifflin.us. And you can do a /paranormal to see their paranormal programs. There's a whole section on their menu is just paranormal programs. How cool. They have a Paranormal Friday at Fort Mifflin this coming, it's actually July 12th. And then Saturday, July 13th, the fort does close at 2 p.m. So you could make a night of it and then on Friday and then, you know, go about your business on Saturday somewhere else. They have Sleep with Ghosts. It's a guided tour of the fort with an overview of paranormal investigation techniques and small investigations on all the hot spots, plus snacks and beverages. You could do that yourself as well. And they've got them going on and on their schedule online at their website, fortmifflin.us/paranormal. So cool.
Yeah, and the thing
so tell us more about your investigation of Fort Mifflin when you went there.
Well, one of the things was we went back to the 1812 room where we had gotten the first set of EVPs. We wanted to go back because there is a lot of other activity that seemed to be taking place. Jen had some feelings, some personal feelings there.
Mm-hmm.
We went back, and all of a sudden, I'm hearing footsteps upstairs. I go to the room on the left. I'm hearing the footsteps move to the right. I go to the room on the right. I hear the footsteps move. This is going back and forth. Jen goes outside. She circles. She can't find anybody. The stairs to the upstairs are chained off. But unfortunately, lo and behold, I went outside finally one final time. I looked up, and there was a gentleman walking in between the rooms.
Oh, wow.
But it was freaking me out because it seemed like every time I stepped into one room, the steps went to the other room. And, you know, and it kept happening. And like I said, Jen didn't say anything. But finally, when we were able to debunk it, which was nice because, you know, I would have been scratching my head because I was like, there's got to be somebody up there. And sure enough, there was. Otherwise, it would have been a great, great, you know, capture. But no, lo and behold, there was someone up there. But we did get EVPs in several areas around the fort.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean.
So what kind of quality are we talking here?
Some of them are muffled. Some are very clear voices that we got. You know, the ones from the spirit box, though, the ones that pretty much were amazing because it sounded like there was a conversation going on between two people back and forth. So Okay. That one I want to list to because the problem with that one was we heard it as it was happening, and I haven't played it back since. But the thing is, it was happening so fast, I couldn't pick up on what the hell they were saying. I picked up on a word or two here, but I really didn't need to. So what I want to do is I got to put that into the computer and really slow it down to listen to it because it was a very quick conversation. Could have even been in a foreign language. I don't know. It shouldn't have been because it was an American fort, but you never know, you know?
Yeah.
But the place is great. I mean, I'm going to tell you, it's big thing to me about it, it's only $6 admission to go through if you just want to tour the place. And even if you're not going to do one of the paranormal events, okay, mm-hmm. it's still fantastic because, you know.
Yeah, that's like nothing to get in and do stuff.
And the thing is, you can still investigate during the day because, you know, it's not that crowded where you're going to have people coming around you. Like I said, when we were there, it was a Sunday afternoon, and you know, there were very few people. There were probably about another 6 or 7 people in the entire fort. And the fort's big. It's a big fort. I mean, like I said, you can go into isolated areas by yourself where if you had like three people, you could have one person waiting on the outside while two people go and do EVPs, you know, just so you know nobody else is coming in to contaminate it and whatnot.
Because
there are areas that are definitely isolated where you can go in by yourself and, you know, and you can try and find activity. You know, you can take photos and whatnot. You know, it's interesting because they have some overnight events, but most of their ghost hunting events are not overnighters. And that's because, as the woman explained to us, most of the activity there takes place during the day.
Yeah. Well, that's great, though. That's why it's so good that they have this family investigation, because you can bring your kids. You're not there till 2 in the morning giving them that experience. It's very cool.
Yeah. And like I said, what's nice is she tells you about all her experiences at the fort. What a lot of the prior visitors have. She also explained to you, which I thought was really cool. She said, we get reports of the paranormal all the time. She goes, 90% of those reports we don't believe a word of. and she said, there's such a reputation here. People often see what they want to see as opposed to what's there.
Oh, sure. And that's normal especially for novice investigators. That's the normal thing. It's like so exciting to even be involved. You've got your heightened senses and your imagination, of course, going crazy with all the new experiences. So it's hard for them to sort out what's actually going on and what's just imaginary. And that happens with these families and all these novice investigators that are just experiencing it for the first time. Of course, you're probably standing there going, what are you screaming about?
Well, you know, it was interesting because, you know, she has some theories that are very different than my theories or some of the other theories that our group basically uses. But you know what? I sat there and I listened and you know, I just sat quietly and I listened to everything she had to say. And you know what? For some people who are beginners, it really is definitely worth doing. Even for me, who's not a beginner, I just loved hearing about the fort and the history of it. And basically her experience is ghost hunting there. So, and leading groups, you know, and so it was really great. And what I liked about it is, like I said, we did have small children there. You have to be seven or above, so it wasn't really small children. But, you know, even at that age, they're young kids. And
yeah.
It wasn't overly scary for them. You know, the stories were basically scaled back because it was a family night. I just think the fact that they had to have a family night like that, which is really good, you know.
Yeah, that's very cool. And, yeah, anybody under seven is going to be too young for that. It'll ruin the investigation for everyone else because the little ones don't want to be there.
But, you know, it was funny because some of the younger kids, after she basically said, okay, you know, you have 2 hours now, you can go off and investigate where you want and this, that, the other thing. A couple of the little kids stood behind and asked her a lot of questions. And I have to admit, they were very intelligent questions because the last room we finished up in, we wanted to stay behind, do EVPs on our own. So we had to wait for them to leave.
Right.
And I was listening in, and the kids had some very intelligent questions. And she sat there and she answered them all. And, you know, and then she let everybody out of there except for us. And we stood behind and we did a lot of EVPs in there, a lot of photos and, you know. But it's a great place. I definitely recommend it. You know.
Cool. Well, Fort Mifflin was just one of the things that we were going to talk about here. We also are going to talk about your future investigation and in Gettysburg.
What?
And Gettysburg, how cool, because, you know, we've got the 4th of July right around the corner.
Well, here's the thing. We're going down for the reenactments for the 150th anniversary of Gettysburg. So yeah. we're not necessarily going down ghost
hunting. For an investigation. Okay.
We're going down for the pomp and circumstance of, you know, of the 150th anniversary.
Cool. Anybody wants to check out Gettysburg and the things that are going on for this celebration, go to Gettysburg.com. It's that easy. So 150th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg. Very exciting, those reenactments. I love the costuming and that they really fire guns and get into it and are very accurate, too, in that respect.
And, you know, me being the big photography guy, I'm going to go and I'm going to take a zillion pictures. And it's a great trip, too, because Rick is finally getting to go with us down to Gettysburg. So it'll be
nice.
Me, Rick, and Jen. What's nice, we're going to take him around because we are definitely going to do some investigating. But you have to remember, it's the 150th anniversary. There are going to be people everywhere.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be ridiculously crowded. But I have some places that we might be able to get to that won't be as crowded.
Okay.
So with that being said, we definitely have some things on our agenda. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it because, A, we have a couple friends who are investigators with different groups who are going to be down there as reenactors. They're big Civil War reenactors. And I'll finally get to meet some of the investigators who I've known through Facebook down there, meeting them, you know, during the reenactments. And that's going to be really cool.
That's fun. I love when we can do that, when you talk to certain people for years sometimes, and you finally get to talk to each other in person.
Absolutely. Plus, now that we've really become, you know, Gettysburg's become like Jen and my second home. And since we know so much of it, it's going to be great to take Rick down there and go around and show him everything and and take him to some of the experiences that, you know, some of the places where we had experiences on the last bunch of ghost hunts and see if we can get anything there with Rick.
Yeah, you can play tour guide.
Oh, absolutely. But not only that, just, you know, hopefully we can get to investigate some of those places again, if not move on to some new spots, you know. But, yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, it's going to be something on a huge, huge scale. We had to book the room over a year ago.
Wow.
We booked it in June of last year because we knew the 150th was coming and every place was going to be sold out.
That's crazy.
And, well, also, too, the same rooms that we were paying $70 a room for last year are up to, like, $250 this year. So, you know, and we're not talking about, you know, five-star hotels, you know, but...
No, but you need a place to stay, and that's...
Absolutely.
You do what you have to do to get there. That's like going to Wildwood, same deal. You got to kind of book it a year in advance. It stinks, but once you're there, you're glad you did it. So,
Wait, you mean Wildwood minus the, minus the Jersey Shore people?
I don't remember them ever being there when I was there, which is fine. I could do without them.
There you go.
So Fort Mifflin, Gettysburg, the website is fortmifflin.us or gettysburg.com if you want to check out the two places we were just talking about.
What's great too, you know, what is great about Gettysburg is that, like, there are so many phone apps now that will take you on walking tours of the city, of the battlefields. Of course, there's always the driving tours that you can purchase the CDs for, and, you know, and they're marked throughout and go to, you know, stop.
Sure.
But what's really great now is you can combine the two. You can take the driving tours and you can use phone apps, because the phone apps add so much more. You know, the driving tours usually hit on the basics, but the phone apps now will hit every single monument and tell you, you know, there's probably too much information. You'll never get through it all. But it's valuable, really valuable insights in all these apps. That just makes it fantastic. The thing we're looking forward to is that when they do the reenactments, they're actually going to do it in the order that the battle actually took place. Now,
okay.
The only thing that's a little disappointing is that they don't actually do the reenactments on the actual battlefields. And that's because those are historical places now, and they're done in Gettysburg, but on a different set of fields than they actually were. So that's the only thing that's going to be slightly different. I guess, you know, that's because they really want to preserve those battlefields. So they don't want, you know, them bringing heavy artillery in and horses and all that stuff and ripping up the fields. Because so much work's been done to restore these fields, you know.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, the thing is, even the historic, you know, Gettysburg Military Park, that's not exactly, you know, that's scaled back as well, because a lot of that became private property over the years. So even those, even the you know, the military park, you know, where the main battlefields were, is smaller than it was. So some of these reenactments will actually take place on places that battles took place, but just that aren't part of the park. You know, so it is interesting. Like I said,
it absolutely is. And like I said, if you want to check out more about Gettysburg, go to Gettysburg.com. It's really easy. 150th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg. I think, Lance, that we are going to talk about your new friends when we come back.
Absolutely.
And a new network for our fans. So we'll be right back. It's the Paranormal Pulse podcast.
The Paranormal Pulse. Like us on Facebook at East Coast Ghost. That's East Coast with a K. Ghost on Facebook. And feel it for yourself.
And we're back. It's the Paranormal Pulse podcast. I'm Chris Bruno. We've got Lance Phillip, my co-host, and Lance just acquired himself a brand new friend not all that long ago. Something about getting ghosts. You want to tell us about your new friend, Lance?
Yeah, it's actually a really cute story. I'm driving home the other day, and I get right by my house, and I'm pulling up front because I had to pick up Jen. We were going out to dinner. I pull up in front, and I see next to my car on the right this little kid, little blonde-headed kid, wearing a skateboard helmet, holding his skateboard in his hand. He's waving to me like he knows me. I've never seen this kid ever. So I pull the car over. I get out. And he comes running around the car. He goes, hi. He goes, do you get ghosts? I was like, what? He goes, yeah, do you get ghosts? He goes, I was reading the side of your car. Because for the people who don't know, you know, we have the team's logos on the side of the car. On the back of the car, it says, you know, I'd rather be ghost hunting. And on the front of the car, it says ghost hunter. And there's no way to miss our EKG mobile. So, you know, or as we call it, the ghost box.
The ghost box.
So with that being said, he goes, do you get ghosts? And I said, well, I was like, we're ghost hunters and we try to, you know, find evidence of ghosts. He goes, but do you get ghosts? I was like, it's hard to say if we get ghosts. I was like, because no one really knows what ghosts are. I said,
he thinks you're like Ghostbusters, you can get them and put them in a little box.
I don't know. So I was talking to him a little bit because he was adorably cute, little blonde headed kid, blue eyes. You know, he's like got that classic, you know, little kid look, and he's really excited. He's probably about 8, 9 years old maybe, and he's really, really excited. He's like, he goes, so how do you catch a ghost? I said, well, we don't necessarily catch ghosts. It's like the idea is you want to try and take pictures of them. You want to try and record their voices with tape recorders. I was like, you know, you want to see them. I was like, but you don't really capture them. I was like, you're not taking them home with you.
I don't want to keep them.
Yeah, it's like we're just trying to get evidence of what we believe ghosts are. He goes, oh, he goes, that's interesting. He goes, I watch the ghost shows on TV. He goes, are you guys on TV? I said, well, I was like, we're not on TV. I was like, but you can see us on YouTube. I was like, we have a YouTube channel. The only thing was, because he's little, and I don't know, you know, first time I ever met him, I don't know if his parents approve of this stuff or anything. So I didn't want to really go too far into it, because I didn't, you know, I don't want somebody coming back and going, you know, my kid's this or the other thing. So I just said, you know, we have a YouTube channel. I left it at that. I didn't tell him the address, but I'll tell everybody out there the address. It's Ghost Hunter 617 on YouTube.
Nice.
So
nice segue there, pal.
I know. But so I sat there, I said, you know, you can see our videos on YouTube. I was like, and you can find us on Facebook. So he goes, wow. He goes, I never had an adult talk to me about ghosts before.
Oh boy.
So I said, okay. I was like, but do you watch?
Tell your mom.
I said, do you watch? I said, do you watch the shows? He goes, yeah. He goes, we watch them all the time, me and my buddy. And he's just screaming down. He's just screaming. He goes, Zach. And this other little kid.
The kid's name is Zach.
I know. That almost made me laugh within itself. This other little kid runs up. He goes, this is my new friend. He goes, oh, I'm Jason. And I said, hi, Jason. I'm Lance. He goes, this is my friend, Zach. I said, hi, Zach. And Zach's just kind of looking like, okay, why'd you call me over? You know,
who's this guy? Why are we talking to a stranger?
Right, and Jason's like, little Jason's like, he gets ghosts, which just keeps making me laugh every time he says he gets ghosts. You know,
he gets ghosts.
So I was explaining to him. I said, you know, are you really interested in it? He goes, yeah. He goes, so did you ever see a ghost in real life? I said, well, I think I've seen a ghost in real life. I said to him, I didn't want him to scare him. I said, I saw one of the last times I was out ghost hunting. What looked like a woman standing in front of me, and then when I turned, she was gone. He goes, what does she look like? And I explained to him, she was a white figure, with a purplish outline. I could kind of see detail from her waist up, but then I couldn't see below, and then she disappeared. And he's like, wow, you know, and he's like, really, like, his eyes lit up, you know,
Somebody's mom is going to come out and be like, don't talk to my kid about ghosts.
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, I was really trying to be careful with what I said. Because I even have a book that was written for little children. It's a Ghost Hunters a Field Guide. And what, you know, it's really just a little short, 50 or 60 page book. And it's really geared towards real little kids. It's got little illustrations and whatnot. And I was almost tempted to say, you know what, I'll give you this book. But then I said, you know, I didn't want to say that. So I said, you know, I was like, if you want to go have your mom come meet me one time. I was like, I'd like to meet your mom, because I figured, you know, if he goes and gets his mom, she comes over and I talk to her, and she says, okay, I'll give him the book, you know, but I didn't want to just, here you go, kid, you know, and have the mother come and kill me, you know, that would be the wrong thing. So
why are you taking books from strangers? But mom, it's a book.
But he was adorable, and he asked a few more questions, and, you know, he was really curious. He was like, yeah, he was asking everything. He goes, so you take pictures of them? Do you have any pictures of ghosts? And we have some pictures of some things we can't explain. And I kept trying to explain to him, we don't know what a ghost is. You know, right. And I kept trying to say that. I was like, we have things we believe are ghosts, but we can't prove there are ghosts, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of left it at that. And
we'll see what happens.
Well, and the thing is, I didn't want to sit there and continue to like really expand on it. But, you know, it's funny because this isn't the first time we've had kids come up to us and really stop us about it. But every time it happens, I just think it's adorable. Especially this little kid was really cute. Like I've had some older kids come up, like, you know, who are probably like 15, 16.
Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I mean,
they think they know everything.
You know, me and Jen, when we've traveled, have had people stop us and ask. We've actually, when we were down in Antietam, his mom and dad came over to us and said, is it okay if my son takes a picture with your truck? And then I was like, go ahead, you know. And then the little kid was like, can you guys be in the picture too? So, you know, so it's happened before and it's kind of cool.
It's cool, but it's weird. Tell me it's not weird.
It is weird because I really do think they think that we're taps or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They think we're on TV. I don't know. That's the only thing I could think of.
Hey,
but
you know what? Fans are fans. That's very cool.
Yeah, no, and you know. And I guess
without those guys, we wouldn't be doing what we do.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's really cool, though, when the kids come up and they're really curious about it. You know, and that just shows you how much ghost hunting in the mainstream is really been accepted now. So.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. It has. There's no doubt about that. You know, they have the celebrity ghost stories and all these other paranormal shows. And actually, they have that network we were talking about.
Yes, and that, you know, it's on Roku. Roku for a while has had a network called Paranormal Reality Network.
And it has a cool website and some really, I mean, there's a ton of interesting stuff on this site.
Well, for the longest time, it was only available on Roku, and it was available as a pay service.
Right.
I had subscribed early on because the Kling brothers, who had Ghost Lab, had started their new show called The Dead Truth on there. But there was a lot of other shows, Existence Unknown.
Are You Haunted?
Yep. I mean, Jeff Bellinger has his 30-odd minutes on there. There's a ton of shows on there.
Oh, yeah. And I'm just looking at some of them. Ghost Band, Parawatch TV, The Spirit Level, The Dead Truth. I mean, just a whole bunch of them here.
Yeah, there's probably about 20, 25 shows. They have more shows coming. They add shows all the time. But yeah. The big thing is, it was always a pay service. You had to pay $7 a month. So that held a lot of people back. This last week, they launched a free version of the show, where what they do in the free version, they run streaming ads and commercials. So right. If you don't mind watching with streaming ads and commercials, you can now watch that network free.
So it's like watching a television show or right. A television network, a normal one.
Right, but what's even bigger than that is that if you look at their website, they announced that soon they're going to be available on other platforms such as Android, other streaming services like Boxy, and of course iTunes and iPads and iPhones. So there's going to be another outlet to watch it. So there are some great shows on there. Existence Unknown is a very good show that I've watched. Quite a few of them. And there are some shows from overseas, too, which show you some really great locations that you've never seen on any of the shows here in the U.S. So it's definitely a fun channel, and I definitely recommend it. I love watching it. I sit down and watch it a lot.
It's very interesting. There's all kinds of stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
I just clicked on one just to see what it's about, and it's the Jordan Maxwell Show, which I know nothing about, but it looks interesting.
Yeah. And
it looks very scholarly.
You know, and thing is, some of them are actual, you know, TV shows, and some are podcasts that have been converted to video, which is really cool. So you get some of the shows on there.
So they record their podcast and then they record them recording it, much like Howard Stern was doing for a while.
Yeah,
correct?
Similar to that, but some of them also too, what they do is, it's just the audio, but what they'll do is they'll present images. Like if they say, hey, we were at location X, and all of a sudden pictures of location X will stream across the screen as
gotcha.
They're talking about it. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is neat.
So you get some of that. But most of them are fully produced TV shows, and some of them are really done well, you know? You know, there are some paranormal game shows on there.
There's game shows?
There's a paranormal challenge from, I think it's Australia. It's different than the paranormal challenge that we had here. It's not the same concept. It's a total different concept. But yeah.
Right. Okay.
It's just the name happens to be similar. But yeah, there's some great things on there. And like I said, for a long time, it was only a pay service. So a lot of people shied away from it. But now it's available as a free service with commercials. And it's going to be available on other platforms. And trust me, we don't have anything to do with them, so I'm not trying to endorse them, you know, because we don't get a cut out of it. I just think it's a fascinating network.
No, this is just looks just very cool. I'm just looking at everything that's on here. There's a lot on here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
it's very interesting and indeed.
You know,
there's some great shows on here. I'm just clicking on these things like The Dead Truth.
The Dead Truth, unfortunately, I was really
I didn't watch it yet or listen to it. It looks like you listened to it.
No, The Dead Truth is the Kling brothers who had Ghost Lab. It's their show.
Oh, I see that.
It
looks like it's a podcast or
right.
Or
no,
a
no,
slide
no.
Show.
It's their show. Unfortunately, they had two episodes and then two shorts, and they haven't done anything with it since because they've now moved on to a different project, different video project.
Oh, gotcha.
That we actually posted a link for on our Facebook page. They're now working with Chip Coffee on a DVD, on a paranormal DVD series.
Oh, that's right. Yes,
yeah,
so we're posting that.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's going to go on here or not. There's no word of that. I know they're going to sell those DVDs and whatnot. And that looks fascinating to have the Kling brothers, who are very scientific, with Chip Coffee, who's very spiritual. I'm really looking forward to that show.
That might be an interesting combination. It might be entertaining as well.
And of course, for people who follow Chip Coffee on Twitter and whatnot, he posted a picture that just made me laugh my ass off the other day, which was it was him in a little kiddie pool with a hose pouring over himself, and he basically said that he said, "I just thought that the hotel swimming pool would be much more luxurious than this."
Yeah, I can imagine. All right. So paranormalreality.tv, you can check out their website. They've got some great shows programmed on their site, on podcasts. You can download them. Some of them are a pay-per-view type thing, but they're all there anytime you want. Paranormal Reality TV. Again, we're not affiliated. We just think it's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. When,
now, we're going to talk about some paranormal in the news when we come back. A little Bigfoot, perhaps. Some talk about the hoaxes that are going on. Well, it's all when we come back. It'll be fun. Stick around. The Paranormal Pulse Podcast.
This city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr.
Yes.
Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes, the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Just relax. We are now checking your paranormal pulse.
Welcome back to your paranormal pulse. I'm all dramatic now, too.
Absolutely.
It's Chris Bruno and Lance Phillip. We're here talking about the paranormal in the news. That's our next segment coming up right now. And on our website, well, it's actually Facebook, but if you go to the Paranormal Pulse Podcast on Facebook, like our page, check out all the stuff that we post. We have some really interesting stuff. And if any member of EKG or the Paranormal Pulse Podcast see any articles about paranormal stuff going on in the news, like the Jersey Devil or Bigfoot, of course, one of Lance's favorites, you can follow along with us by going on our page and checking out the article while we talk about it. So now, there's some ridiculous stuff that we've found this week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Talk about Bigfoot, your fave. Go for it.
Well, to me, there's just been some really more upsetting stories out there. One of the news groups out there was reporting that there was a picture of Bigfoot, a video of Bigfoot on a game cam. You know, if people know the game cams, the ones that, you know, the hunters use, they put them on trees, they have infrared night vision and whatnot. And what they use for is to track animals as they come through a particular area, so that way people know whether it's good for hunting or not. And they're set up either of two ways. They could take still photos or they could take video. Well, there was this one that supposedly captured a picture of a Bigfoot. And the story went around. Mm-hmm. Well, it turned out the person who submitted the story totally fabricated it. It was a fraud. What he did was he took a magazine picture that had a Bigfoot in it and held it in front so it snapped the picture of Bigfoot in the woods. And this went around and people bought it. And later on, it was revealed that it was a picture because I guess someone came forward, and not only did they, you know, admit, all right, it was a magazine, they sent the magazine photo along with it to whoever they came out to. I don't remember who they revealed it to. But it's stories like that that just get aggravating.
Oh, there's tons of them, too.
And there have been, and it just seems like the last 3 weeks or so, there have been a rash of Bigfoot stories that have been hoaxes.
Yeah, we've had the Jersey Devil sighting in New Jersey.
That's
unrecognizable animal.
Well, that's just
across a fence,
and that thing's just weird looking. You know, I've heard, you know, there was some
it
theories.
It looks like, yeah, there's all kinds of mangy squirrel, like a squirrel with mange kind of thing going on.
The only problem with that is if you get the size of it, it's too big to be a squirrel.
It's a cat.
I don't know if it's a cat, but it's definitely not a squirrel. It's too damn big, you know?
No, I'm sure that this is probably Photoshopped in some way, shape, or form. They don't tell you what region it is in.
Yeah, I don't even, to be truthful, I don't think it's Photoshopped. I just don't know what it is. But it's not, you know, the infamous Jersey Devil.
Mm-mm.
Although it makes for a great photo, I got to tell you.
It is interesting looking.
And the Weekly World News later, just today, put out that same photo with the headline that said, Jersey Devil photographed in Oklahoma, which I really thought was hysterical.
That's brilliant. So there was also a Chinese farmer who got jailed for making a rubber alien. What was that about?
Well, what he did was he went, put together this rubber alien and took photos and video of it and claimed that it was a real thing. Well, the Chinese government didn't appreciate this and actually put him in jail. Now, here's the thing. If they did that in this country to all the people who fake stuff in the paranormal, if they all went to jail for it, we'd be a lot better off. We really would be.
Yeah, you know? But you know what? If they already have people in jail that shouldn't be there, we're going to have a whole bunch of paranormal hoaxes.
Yeah.
You know what? It's almost like a buyer beware thing. If you see this and you want to believe it, you should be checking it out to make sure it's factual. I don't know about being jailed for it, though.
You know, this guy learned a lesson. He'll never do it again. I guarantee you that, you know.
Oh, well, sure. And nobody wants to go to jail for something like that. But, you know, I can see if he's bringing out, useful resources like police and investigators in that respect. But if he's just screwing around trying to put video like these idiots on YouTube who are putting all those fake ones out.
Well, the thing is,
it's just something like that. I don't know about getting arrested for
it. Yeah, I mean, the official charge that he had to serve 5 days, and the official charge was fabrications that disturbed the public order. So
that is probably in the book somewhere.
Right. I mean, you know, I just thought it was great, you know, that they nailed somebody who faked it.
Doing the fakes. Okay, so what else do we have? Bigfoot news. There's a Bigfoot lunch club.
It is a web series devoted to it's a web comedy series about Bigfoot as somebody's roommate, and it's actually it's called Bigfoot Roommate, an original web series. It looks hysterical. One of the trailers I saw, the human roommate was sitting there talking to Bigfoot, saying, "All right, Bigfoot, enough's enough. I need your half of the rent." And Bigfoot's just scratching his head, trying to figure out how he's going to come up with the rent. It looks funny. I mean,
it looks very similar to the cavemen,
right? To the Geico cavemen
commercials.
You know,
it's BigfootLunchClub.com. That's hysterical.
Yeah, I thought that was hysterical. I was like, I had to put that up because, you know, like I said, I saw the one trailer and it just looked funny to me. You know,
it does look funny. It looks silly. I don't know that I'd laugh at it necessarily, but definitely, if you're a Bigfoot fan, right up your alley. I love some of the posts that we've been putting up. The reigning hide-and-seek world champion.
Yep, picture of Bigfoot, you know.
So then there was another thing in Delaware County.
Well, what that was
That's a strong evidence of Bigfoot being found.
Yeah, you know, a bunch of Bigfoot enthusiasts met at a town hall type of meeting, and they shared evidence and whatnot. And the main investigators basically came away after they had searched the area, and there was a series of abandoned homes that, when they went through, seemed to show evidence of Bigfoot activity, and that they feel that there's probably a clan of Bigfoot there, and that, as this group of enthusiasts said, they're not out to capture or hunt Bigfoot. All they want to do is educate people on Bigfoot so that way they can all live in harmony in that area, which is a nice thought. I want to see more of the physical evidence. I mean, they're saying it. They're mentioning the physical evidence, but there are no photos to accompany it. But it's still an interesting story. You know, it's just a brief story that's there.
As we were saying, there's all these stories out there, hoaxes or otherwise. Just paranormal has been in the news a ton lately. So keep your eyes out for it. You can look for it on our page at the Paranormal Pulse Podcast on Facebook. We're always posting silly stuff up there.
Yeah,
good stuff, evidence, legit. Mm-hmm. Other people, you're welcome to post on our wall as well if you have something good to say or something good to show. And I see there were UFO reports flying over Brazil.
That's an interesting video.
Yeah.
You know, It's a very interesting video. It doesn't look like videos I've seen before. I don't know if it's real at all. You know, I heard some people wrote in there, well, it's a balloon. Well, it's not a balloon. I'm sorry, because I've never seen a balloon that could ascend and descend back and forth, you know, like that. You know, if it's a balloon, it's going to be traveling upward. It's not going to come down towards the people, go back up, come back down, move left to right like this did. So the balloon theory doesn't work for me. Now, could it be one of these AR drones that's controlled by somebody's iPhone? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of these toy drones out there lately. And if painted the right way, I could see them being confused, or if attached mirrors to it, because this thing was reflecting light. I could easily see one of those being used for faking UFO videos.
Oh, sure. But there's so much stuff out there you can do that with now. Not like, you know,
I will say, though, the video is interesting because a lot of the fake videos, they center on the UFO and they follow it around. This one loses the UFO. It comes back in frame. It goes out. So it's a little bit more believable. But I don't know if it's real at all. I mean, it's hard to say, you know.
Well, you know, that's what makes it interesting. That's what makes it paranormal, because we don't know what causes it. We don't know what it is. And
the other speculation I have about it being a drone is the fact that this was a public protest in Brazil. And it wouldn't surprise me if the government was flying a drone over the people to make to kind of view everything to make sure it wasn't getting out of hand.
Sure, we definitely have that kind of technology. People could do that if they wanted to.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's very interesting. It's a cool video. Either way, check it out. See what you think. It's on our Facebook page at Paranormal Pulse Podcast. Oh, I think that we're going to take a quick break because you have to get all set up for your review of geek stuff, right?
Absolutely.
I like to call it geek review. Lance likes to call it tech talk. Either way, it's coming up next on the Paranormal Pulse.
Take a deep breath and relax as we check your Paranormal Pulse.
Welcome back to the Paranormal Pulse Podcast. I'm Chris Bruno. I've got Lance Phillip here with us. And it's my my favorite segment to call the Geek Review. Lance doesn't like that. He likes it calling it tech talk. Sounds so stuffy when you say it that way. But anyway, Lance has a new cool technology to discuss with us on why it's good, why it's bad, why it's just fun, whatever. It's Mr. Ghost Antenna. Tell us all about it, Lance.
Well, what it is, it's actually a twofold device. It is a phone app called Mr. Ghost. And it's a mobile ghost antenna, and this is available through GhostStop.com. Again, I have no affiliation to them. It's just an interesting new product. And what it does, it turns your phone into an actual EMF meter with this antenna. Now, we have a lot of apps out there which are EMF meters, but the problem is most of them don't work very well because they can't differentiate between the EMF in the air and the EMF that the phone is putting it out itself.
Okay.
So now you can download the app for free. It's called Mr. Ghost. The problem is it's not going to work correctly without the add-on piece, which is called the mobile ghost antenna. That antenna is $29.99 through GhostStop.com. And what it does is it's set up, and I've not obviously had a chance to rip one open or anything to see how it works. But
okay.
What they're saying is, and they have an interesting video online that you can watch, it's right on their website, which shows the difference between the unit working with the antenna and without. Without the antenna, the app goes crazy because it can't figure out which EMF is which. And as soon as they plug the antenna in, it actually differentiates between the EMF in the air and the phone, what the phone's putting out. But what's also nice about it, it has a gyroscopic mode, which shows the direction of the EMF. So not only will it show you that you have an EMF hit in front of you, it's going to show you the direction that it's coming to, so you can track down exactly what it is. You know, so if it's showing you that there's an EMF field on the left, and you turn and all of a sudden you see a computer on your left side, all right, it'll give you a better idea than if it were just there in front of you.
That's interesting. I'm looking at it here on one of those big sites that you can purchase stuff from. I'm not advertising for them. They have enough. But Mr. Ghost EMF detector for iPhones. This is mainly for iPhones at this point, correct?
Right. I'm sure it'll be out
now,
for Android.
I only point that out because I am not an iPhone person, and I know there's not as many of us anymore, but I like my Droid. So it may work on Droid, but right now these are specific to iPhone. But they're cool looking. It looks like just a regular antenna. So for everything that it does, I don't know. It might be worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, basically,
it's not expensive.
No, you know, and what it does, it gives you a digital EMF readout. It also has a glow mode, which the screen will glow and change colors that you can use in communication sessions.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool. You know, it keeps a an energy waveform history with spectrum charts, which is really kind of cool because you can track everything that's going on. It will also convert EMF energy to audible tones, so you can hear it. You can actually hear the EMF, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that is neat.
And it, like I said, it records all your sessions, so that way you can document everything. You can see what time the activity took place. You can really match it up. So it's an interesting new product.
It sounds like it, and it looks like it, and it's not crazy expensive. So if you have an iPhone, you want to give it a try. It's called Mr. Ghost Antenna. You can buy it on multiple websites, and
you can't really buy. You can only buy it through GhostStop.
I saw it on Amazon.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see it there. Okay, I thought it was only through GhostStop. So
I'm not saying that, you know, maybe it's a different product. It's the same name.
Okay. Okay.
So, but it's not crazy expensive. Check it out. I'm sure they have their own website. It's always better just to buy straight from the manufacturer. Most of the time, you get a better price too. So
now,
check it out online, and we can post a link on the Paranormal Pulse podcast page at Facebook if you want to like the page. We'll put the link there somewhere. Or we could put it on Podbean too, right? Right by the show.
Yeah, well, a lot of the links that we've spoken about tonight will be on our Podbean page, which is the main...
Podbean.
Yep, that's the main website for the show, and that's where you'll see all the great artwork that I do to accompany each episode, but also I usually put the links on there. You don't get those on iTunes. You don't get those through Blueberry or, you know, Roku or
have to go to paranormalpulse.podbean.com.
Right.
It's really easy,
now,
honestly.
And
or
also,
you could that link is right on our Facebook page.
Yeah, and absolutely. And you get all the extras there. But also I want to note something. On last week's episode, I put a listener survey on our Podbean page. It's also on our Facebook page, right? It's the first post on the page. I have it pinned to the top.
Right.
And what that is, it's just a quick 1-minute poll that will give us all the information about our audience. That way we know who's listening. We're just trying to get some information. No names are attached to it. It's just a quick survey.
Yeah,
you know,
it's basic stuff.
It takes less than a minute. We've gotten a lot of hits on it, so we're getting some good feedback. Our friends at the Ghost Hunters store, and I will say because I am personal friends with them, Marty over there does a great job, and Dave Giuliano and whatnot. They're offering a course, an online course being taught by Dave Giuliano on proper usage of equipment.
Oh, that's always a plus.
That is
a huge
one. It is
so important to be able to use the equipment properly so that you know you have good evidence. It's not tarnished by misuse or just clumsiness or anything like that. Where your battery's dying and you don't realize it. You know, those little simple things are very important.
I can't tell you over the years how many people I've seen incorrectly using equipment because they were never taught properly. This is a great thing. Again, I don't gain anything by it. They are friends. So it's something that you can register with them. I don't know what the cost is or anything else. You can just go to the Ghost Hunter store website. They have it on there. They're also doing a comprehensive ghost hunting course on there too, which is multiple lessons and whatnot. I saw that on there. For people there are a lot of people who I know who have contacted us and said, how do I get started in this? That might be a way to go. If you don't have a group in your area to learn from, Dave's been teaching ghost hunting for years and years and has taught thousands of people how to ghost hunt. So you may not have access to him live because you're not in New Jersey, but you can take the course online. So that's all I'm going to mention without just those two courses, which could really be helpful to people.
Sure.
Getting back,
there's no product or website on our show ever at this point that is paying us to have a mention. We're mentioning it sheerly out of, you know, being a consumer just like you. So if there's something that you have questions about and you want to know an honest answer, you can ask us, because any products or reviews that we've done are not paid for. We're just doing them because, you know,
and
that's what we do.
And the other thing is, since I've used probably almost every product on the market, which is really scary.
Well, I think that's important for people to know that, you know, we're not giving these points of view from it's not a jaded, paid-for point of view. This is just legit our opinions.
And
if you're looking for an honest one, we've got them.
Yeah, and I have no problem bashing a product if I think it's crap, so, you know.
Yeah, and I fully support that.
So just, you know, if you're thinking about, even if you're thinking about buying something and you're not sure about it, just drop me a line, because chances are I know about it, I've used it.
Yeah, we can use it in our geek talk here, our geek review, your tech talk, whatever.
Absolutely. If you're listeners and fans of the show, the best thing you can do for us is hit the subscribe button on no matter what system you're listening to. If you're listening to it on Stitcher, subscribe. If it's iTunes, subscribe.
You're not going to get bombarded. You're going to get notified for each new and unique show.
So if you enjoy the show, just hit subscribe. That's what we really want. We really want to see how many people are subscribing. Right.
Subscribers work with each one of you is a unique and interesting person. And we want to know how many of you are out there. Plus, that's what the subscribe is about. So if you could just hit subscribe, we can move forward with our lives and enjoy each other's company.
Yeah, plus the great thing. So plus, profound now. I know. Plus the thing about subscribing is that you'll automatically get the next episode sent to you when it's available.
So yeah, you don't have to go through the craziness.
Right. If you forget and, you know, all of a sudden there's that little red reminder will come up on iTunes saying, oh, new episode's available.
You can get us on iTunes. You can get us on Roku, on Stitcher, on Facebook. Of course, you can listen to the podcast right from our page. And Blueberry. Not to forget Podbean, our little homepage, paranormalpulse.podbean.com. And that's where you're going to get all the cool links with the websites of what we're talking about, the products, the reviews, the pictures. Our Facebook page and Podbean are like the best place to go to get the most out of the show.
And don't forget, we like to do listener questions. We kind of left it out last week's episode. We left it out.
Well, yeah, we had stuff
new
going on.
Right.
You know, interviews with Grant Wilson and Blair Murphy. And we like talking to them, but we like talking to you too. So, you know, send in your questions. Leave your message in on the phone number. And you know I'm going to hit you up for the phone number, Lance, because I just don't know it. So if you want to call us and leave a voice message or a voice question or a voice comment, I don't care. You want to scream in the phone and laugh. If it's good, I'll use it.
There you go.
Call our phone number. What's the number, Lance?
It's 805-633-0935. Again, 805-633-0935. If you didn't,
listen.
Though, as some, you know, I played an old episode from 1949 of a show called Suspense, and it was a episode that featured ghost hunting. And I was just wondering how you people liked it. I've gotten some good feedback so far, but I didn't get a lot of feedback. I got, you know, some feedback, and people who heard it were very positive about it. And I just want to know if that's something you'd be interested in hearing again, you know, if you'd like us to try different things like that, you know. Because, again, we do this show for you guys, and we want to know what you want, and we'll send it your way.
Yeah, because we're here to have fun and explore the paranormal with you. Some of it is opinion. Some of it is, well, educated opinion. Some of it's just for fun. We want you to take part of it all. Be part of your Paranormal Pulse podcast. Be part of the podcast with us. We want to hear from you. We want to talk to you. It's getting late, Lance.
Absolutely. We do need to sign off soon.
Yeah,
I do have to go online and
find us there.
And I have a small request for anybody out there. If anybody knows any good paranormal jokes, send them to our Facebook page.
Please make them good, please, because, are we going to do a joke of the day? Is that what we're going to do?
I don't know if we can
do anything you people want.
I don't know. I was thinking about doing a segment of paranormal jokes. I just don't know a lot of paranormal jokes.
We'll talk about that later.
All right, folks. On that note, we're going to sign off.
I'm Chris Bruno.
I'm Lance Phillip.
It's the Paranormal Pulse Podcast.
See you next episode.
Find the Paranormal Pulse Podcast on Facebook under Paranormal Pulse Podcast. It's that simple.